First of all, we'll have to get you back on the show under better circumstances in the future.
Sure, sure.
And I wish we had. But thanks for doing this. Can you tell us, if you don't mind, kind of tell us what happened, and then I want to talk about the effects, of course, and then the GoFundMe, and then what the future might look like. So if you could just kind of maybe bring us up to speed at where we are today, April 24th.
Sure. I run a independent record label called Really Rad Records out of Portland, Oregon. Like mid-March, we had a house fire break out in our apartment. It's kind of like there's like two investigators working on it, and no one's really sure how it started, but we believe it's probably an electrical fire due to the way it reacted when we tried to put it out with fire extinguishers.
Oh, okay.
It just like kept coming back. Like we got it to the point where you couldn't, you know, there was no more fire visible, and then it came back, and then we got another fire extinguisher, did the same thing, and it's like it had like zero effect, you know?
Weird.
Yeah, and we were told later that it was likely electrical because of that, and that you need to like cut power to the place, basically, otherwise it'll just keep reigniting. But we had, you know, we run a small record label out of our house, so you can imagine it's a lot of packing materials, it's a lot of stock, a lot of flammable material.
It
took no time. I mean, windows were like exploding from the heat, I believe. It was just really, really quick and pretty scary. We caught it early enough to like leave the house, but we left with nothing. I mean, it caught us kind of off guard. We didn't even have shoes on when we left our apartment. So
wow.
We had phones, wallets, identification, you know, everything was in the house.
Yeah.
And we've not been able to get like in the apartment. It's all fenced off because there was so much structural damage, but I mean, everything's gone. I mean, you could see, like when we went to visit, that it's just like nothing, nothing is going to be alive in there, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a pretty scary situation. We were all, I mean, we had nothing. I mean, we didn't even, it's crazy. Like, how much you rely on your phone. I used to have like, when I was a kid, I used to have like all these numbers memorized. I just did not have them memorized. So I didn't know how to get a hold of anybody.
Luckily,
the American Red Cross was there to hook us up with like
amazing
blankets, shoes. Like they gave us like a little Visa gift card that we could use.
Very cool.
Got us an apartment and stuff like that, or a hotel, until we were able to get a hold of my parents, who have been letting us stay with them for the past few weeks. And now we're working on getting back into an apartment and getting rehomed. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Like everything is gone, you know?
Yeah. That's gotta be a bizarre feeling.
It's weird to like start over from legit scratch. Sometimes it feels that way. Like sometimes it feels like, okay, now I gotta like start over, but this is like for real. Like we really gotta start over.
Well, and I imagine that you have those moments where you go, oh, let me just go grab that thing. Oh, I don't have it anymore. That, you know, that's devastating.
Yeah, and absolutely.
And I think, you know, part of the story too is, I mean, we've been seeing on social media about the label, and of course this is, you know, we're talking about the label and the impact of the label. Like your personal side of things. So it's doubly devastating to lose a business and to lose all your personal belongings as well.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. We luckily had like a small renter's insurance policy. It was like a requirement to get in the place that we lived. But like like young people with zero forethought, we got like the smallest policy and yeah. we're like, oh, nothing's going to happen to us.
I know. Everybody's so, like that. Yeah. There's no yeah. shame in that. I mean, everybody is like, ah, forget it. I don't need that until you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're finding it's way more expensive to replace the things that you owned than it was to get them in the first place. Like, it's just crazy.
Well, that's a great point. Inflation too, right? I mean, a lot of the stuff, even mm-hmm. just clothes, not to mention the records, but everything was probably purchased when things were 20% or more cheaper. Oh man.
Yeah. And I mean, over a lifetime too.
Over a lifetime. It's just like, yeah, that's right.
It's crazy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's horrible. I think the thing, when we think about the inventory, that's the, you know, when you see a label, you know, destroyed by fire, I feel like when we talk about labels here on the show, everything is in the ether. Everything is digital. Right. You know, the goodwill and the brand of the label, it's all in our minds. We forget about inventory. And you talk about, you know, years and years of collecting inventory. I want you to maybe just share about what that is like to lose all that, because part of the business model of a record label is that long tail of having records that you pressed 500 or 1,000 5 years ago that you can still bundle and you can still be making revenue off of, and to lose all that and then to question, do we repress that? I mean, that to me is just something that we don't think about immediately, especially in our digital world. Tell us a little bit about the impact of this lost inventory.
We've been around for like 10 years and we had releases that kind of flopped on release day. But so we just had like a bunch of it laying around. And then over the years, you know, doing like the freebie thing, especially with like CDs and tapes, we always try to give out, like, you know, if you ordered a tape, chances are you're going to like this other tape. So like, we'll yeah. you know, pack freebies in with stuff. And over the years, it's like, dang, some of those were kind of starting to pick back up. And yeah, it's tough. I mean, we're not going to be able to, even with like the GoFundMe, we're not going to be able to get all that back.
Yeah.
The years and years of stuff. I mean, this GoFundMe is really to like make good on the orders from the past, like 2023 and 2024. There's like, it would be so much, it would be crazy to like try to restock everything that we lost. But it's really sad because, you're right. Like, the long tail is something that like, I really just thought all this stuff was just like taking up space in my apartment. But then like stuff like randomly will pop on TikTok, and then stuff will randomly pop. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, and it is like, wow, this is like kind of floating us right now. And and now it's all gone. And it's disappointing for sure. We're going to have to make do, but yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. That's, that's just some of the stuff we take for granted, just the ability, you know, the stickers. And then, like you said, and I think if any of us were in your situation, our personal belongings, knowing we'd have to replace them at, you know, double the cost, that they're worth just kicking around here, we probably would make some hard choices and say, well, I won't replace that item. That's so hard to do when it's, you know, extra t-shirts and stickers, and you've got those orders that come in every now and then from one guy who buys $250 worth of inventory, and to lose out on that. So what is the, let's talk about the GoFundMe. And then I want to ask you about like kind of the inventory strategy, because I know that you have even just something as basic as refunds. You have to, that money is spent as we all would spend it. And that any orders that came in that you couldn't fulfill now have to be refunded, which is heartbreaking. So even a lot of this money, I'm sure, is not even going to product, it just to make right, as you said. So tell me about the GoFundMe, and good on you for doing this.
Thank you. Yeah. So the GoFundMe is, it's like we're asking for 12K. It seems like a lot. We had like long discussions about how much it should be for, because like I said, it's like even with it, it's not going to cover everything.
Of course.
But yeah, we decided on 12K because we think that with that we can refund a couple releases while we repress them, because it's going to be a long time. People are already waiting on those. So we just want to make sure that, you know, we're not getting any like chargebacks or like PayPal.
Yeah. Penalties, you know, or
PayPal penalties, because that'll set us back even,
of course,
even further.
Yeah.
And yeah, just you know, it's going to go towards a lot of our really popular. Well, so we're starting with the latest arrivals. We had two releases arrive and were being packed at the time that the fire broke out.
Wow.
Which is a really big bummer.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're starting with like the most recent releases and latest arrivals, and then kind of like working our way back into 2023. And then kind of going from there, hoping that will get us back on our feet a little bit.
Yeah. Is there any grace or consideration that you're, can get from your pressing plant to help maybe expedite this process?
We've been talking with actually quite a few pressing plants. We've been talking with a few of them, trying to get multiple things in production at the same time.
Right.
Some of our artists are helping with that. Some of our artists have friends that like work at pressing plants here in the US. And so they've been talking with them, trying to get the show on the road while we're kind of like picking up our personal lives.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So they've been really helpful with that.
I mean, I mentioned at the start, you're losing your personal belongings, your personal identity, as well as your business. And then you have the responsibility to rebuild both simultaneously. And most of us would just take a month off work and focus on ourselves. But that's, oh man, that is really, really tough. moving forward, so we have the GoFundMe. You know, for our listeners, we'll have all the links down below. I think you're going to meet your goal and hopefully more.
Thank you.
And what is the... Is there hope for you? Do you see a light? Do you, you know, moving forward, what's the ideal future look like?
Ideally we reach that goal, and then, I'm not gonna, this like is not gonna like stop us, you know. We have so many. I'm really hoping to get through this without missing a beat. We have a pretty full release calendar for 2024, and I don't want to not make good on any contracts. Like, I'm pretty stubborn in that way. I've been doing this since I was like 21, something like that. Yeah. I really don't want it to, you know, it's my baby. It's like my full-time job. So it's like, I need to make sure that we don't really skip a beat. You know, we have kind of had to take the last month off to get things all set up. But I mean, it wasn't really taking it off. You know, we were talking with our artists in the background. Luckily, we have a really collaborative relationship with our artists. So some of them took it upon themselves to be like, okay, like, let me start talking with my buddies at a pressing plant, or let me start setting this up. And then when you guys are ready, you know, we'll tag you in. So
yeah,
luckily we have that kind of relationship with our artists, and I think we're going to be fine. I think we're going to be fine. It's just scary.
Yeah.
Now it's definitely scary.
Like I said, we'll have you on, we'll do a proper episode a year from now with all of the good news and the, you know, resurrection story that in a year from now. But give me real quickly a history of the label, because I know you're 11 years now. You celebrated 10 years last year. So could you give us a little history?
Yeah. So started this. This is actually going to be our 10-year. Started in 2014.
Oh, okay.
It was just the. I think every record label starts this way, is like kind of a joke or kind of a a silly thing that you're doing,
of course, yeah.
And then it kind of grows out of your control, and then you're like, I should have thought of a better name. And so yeah, we've been around for a long time. We've worked with a lot of artists. So lucky, I feel like, to have worked with the artists that we worked with. I also feel like we're just starting to figure it out. We went full time 2 years ago, and I feel like I'm just every year I'm learning so much new, so many new things that are like, oh yeah, this makes everything so much easier, you know. But yeah, we're hopefully going to do our 10-year fest here in Portland at the end of the year, and really looking forward to getting back into the swing of things, working on releases again, and not kind of having to take any more time to get our personal lives, you know.
Well, I did not expect this part of the conversation. I did not expect your release schedule to be on track for the rest of the year. I did not expect a festival to still be in the works and a 10-year anniversary to be in the works. And so that's incredibly inspiring. And like, oh my goodness, I think there's a lot of us who would use this opportunity to pack it in. And so that alone is the biggest story right there, is that, you know, that you're going to continue and you are continuing. It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, even if this all fell through and no one donated, we'd be continuing. It would just be to a lesser extent. You know, I'd go get a real job. And
yeah. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Well, listen, thank you for taking the time. And to our listeners, the link is in the description for the GoFundMe. There's lots of people are donating. More people have donated just since we've been talking. And some really recognizable names in the donation list you'll see as well, especially in the Portland area. So that's pretty cool. Very, very cool. So anyway, all the best to you, and thank you for taking a bit of your time. And I'm really excited to chat with you again real soon to see how you come out of this. And you're very, very inspiring.
Thank you so much, Scott.
I appreciate it.